So Christmas is here, or almost here. And we have plans, and we make plans for Christmas. When we're getting together as family, when we're getting together for this meal or that meal, what banquets we want to attend, all those kind of things, we plan for Christmas. It's about music. You walk in the malls and the music is starting to have the, mostly Christmas, not too many Christmas carols, but Christmas music. But like Santa Claus is coming to town, things like that. But it's also a time of gifts, and all this time we get so wound up, we get so frantic, and it seems to be positive. It's about joy, it's about happiness, and it's about getting together as families. And often, if there has been a death in the family, or a death of someone you know, Christmas turns a bit blue, doesn't it? Say, you know what? I just don't want to celebrate that way. I need to have some place to express this kind of blueness. And so today we want to come together. We want to come together and create a space where we can share about some of these struggles. Because in sharing of them, as we already talked about, we can bear each other's burdens. And so that's one part of today. And the other part is that we are in the presence of Christ. And in John, when he begins his gospel, he says, "In the beginning was the Word," and he goes on. And then he talks about Jesus as being the light of the world. And this is so important when we think of coming together today. We have two areas to come together. We have the light of Christ. The candle is about the light of Jesus. And it symbolizes the light of Christ. And then we have the other candles that will be lit from that light. And so we remember that Jesus invites us to live in his light. We also know that in the life of Jesus, there's one moment, and perhaps there were two moments where he wept, but particularly one moment where he wept, and that was at the grave of Lazarus. And Jesus is there, and he knows he can raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet, it has one of the shortest verses in Scripture, and says that Jesus wept. We don't know how long that was. We don't know what that looked like. Simply, we know that Jesus wept. And so we realize that that in very difficult times, when he lost his friend Lazarus, that even Jesus wept. Another time, when before Jesus faced his death, he also was praying. He's praying very deeply, and in that prayer he was sweating, "Not my will, thine be done." And so death has this the sense of looking at life and recognizing that some things will end, that life will end. And so today we have the light of Christ, and we also have the sense that we are together. Paul says, on one hand, he says, "Cast your cares upon Christ, because he cares for you." And then on the other hand, he says, Paul says, "Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ." We don't understand what that law is altogether, except the law of Christ has to do with love. The law of Christ has to do with bringing redemption and grace to this world. And so we come with those two thoughts today. The thoughts that Jesus is the light, and we are together as the body of Christ, and we want to share some things that have happened this last year. We want to share them together. It's all part of the journey. And you know what? Death is something all of us face. No matter how much we try to get away from it, it is something that comes our way. Death can happen in many different situations. It could be in the family. It could be a friend. It could be coworkers. I remember in 2009, I just started as the program director for Lethbridge Family Services, And that was the year the H1N1 flu went through our community. And of course, there were people lined up to get their shots and so on. But in our program, one of our admin assistant, who was 26 years old, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood, and was in relatively good health, she said to me during that time, "Gary, I'm not feeling very well." And I said, "Go home. Go home, check it out. You need to take care of yourself." And 2 weeks later, she passed away. Who would have known that, right? And so death impacted me in a place of work like it never had before. And so we took the time to grieve the loss. The staff said, "Well, let's make something. Let's do something." And then death, sometimes one of the best ways to do something is to make something. So they made scrapbooks for her friend, actually, and for her parents. And these scrapbooks, they put different sayings and pictures in and so on. And so death can come times we're least expecting it. It can come through accidents. And there are many different kinds of accidents. It can come through suicide. It can come through murder. And those are so unexpected, right? Many years ago, I was not married yet, and I found out, and I was a pastor in Laird, Saskatchewan, and I found out that my cousin had committed suicide. And when someone commits suicide, it is never an easy place to go, right? And it's tough, and it's hard. And perhaps some of you have experienced suicide. Someone close to you has taken their life in suicide. And so each death impacts us in a different way. Death impacts us emotionally. It's like a heart attack in the soul. Okay? And unlike a heart attack, you just can't give medication that are going to fix it. You can't just go to bypass surgery and hopefully it will get changed, our heart will get changed. Because when the heart attack to the soul comes, it affects us in ways that in our physical body, it affects us in our mind and emotions and spiritual life as well. In Job, at the beginning of Job, you will, as you read there, you know, Job lost all his livestock. He lost his servants. He lost his children. And even his physical health was going down. And so at the end of chapter 3 in Job, he writes, "What I feared for has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil." And death is like that. It takes us into turmoil. It impacts our physical body. We might feel tired or we might feel hyper. We might feel that we eat more or eat less. We might feel different parts of our body kind of, aren't doing what they're supposed to do as we think of that. It impacts our emotions. And one of the hardest things in facing death is the negative emotions. The emotions of anger, the emotions of sadness, the emotions of guilt, the emotions of, and you can list some of those. And we wonder, oh, how is this? Is this ever going to leave? But it does impact us, doesn't it? I remember when my dad had passed away, Carol and I went to the bank for some reason. Some things weren't going well. And as we were talking, I got a little bit over involved in this, and I guess I came on a little strong, and I said to Carol, "So did I go over the top a little bit?" And she said, "Yes, you did." Right? And I could tell, because you know the death of a person creates more of this anxiety or anger, and sometimes we don't realize that we're anger here, but the anger's in our soul and we take it out on something else. And so it's really a very powerful kind of time. And if we can understand that this is related around grief, it really helps us to understand this in a more profound way. It also comes in waves. The emotions come in waves. And You know, I remember just after my mom died away, and she died away passed away in 2005. And shortly after that, I was driving, and a thought of her came to me, and tears just came to my eyes. And I said, oh, what's happening to me, right? It comes in a wave, and how do you deal with that? So that's another element of grief is that there's a volatility. Sometimes you can go from telling jokes to tears, because it is just that way, and that's normal. Most people that experience the death of a loved one struggle with that, and so the emotions are impacted. Also, the relationships are impacted. I said before that anger becomes more volatile, and sometimes you start to blame the spouse or blame those that are close to you, and that can also have an impact on the relationships. And when an important person in the family is passed away, the siblings have to find a new way of relating. Like when Carol's mom passed away in 2011. No, it wasn't 2011. Was it? 2013. And she was the and after that we don't have any parents, and you have to find new ways of relating to each other because that one person isn't there. And so death impacts relationships profoundly. The research says that if there's been a death of an infant in the family, then it's a lot more difficult for the couple to make it through. And many couples get divorced when there's been a death in the family of an infant. And so it affects relationships profoundly and deeply. It also affects our spiritual relationship with God. So some people, through all this, they grow close to God, and they can use laments to pray to God, and they can express their anger to God. And others get bitter against God. So why didn't you stop that accident? Why didn't this happen? And the blame starts to get more and more. And so the struggle with grief is a tough struggle. But that's not the end. It's not the end. Because as we struggle with these feelings, something new starts to develop. A new perspective. Something new begins to emerge. Something new begins to come, even as the old is there. And so there are new ways of relating to people, new ways of taking those strengths that you've received from the person and take them on to something more. And so the cycle, the journey of grief is a journey that comes to us, but it's a journey that leads to healing, and it leads to life. And that is for most people. There are some cases where people stay stuck, and they stay stuck, and it's tough, and it's hard, and the grief seems to just keep coming, and years later, they're grieving still just as much. And so that's why we need community. That's why we need each other to help us through these times when it's this way. And so as we come together today as a people of God, we want to come and share this heart. I often think that when we love somebody, we create a space for them in our soul, in our heart. And when that person is removed from the heart, that's where the grief comes in, because there's nobody there. And when we can share that grief, we can come around together and talk about it. And so this morning, as we come and share here, there may be tears, and that's okay. There may be some people that are a bit angry, and that's okay, because that's part of the journey. And there may be some people who share some amazing memories. You know, the memory I have of my father or mother, this is what I want to hang on to and want to hang on to that. And so there may also be some laughter because they remember a funny situation, and that has stayed with them. And so this morning we want to come in the presence of the light of Christ, in the presence of the body of Christ, to share one another, share one another's burdens. You see, Christ cares for us. And as we do this morning, we want to show that we care for each other as well. And just might say, if somebody says something quite personal here, be careful how, don't take it out in the community and say, you know what, I heard so-and-so share this about so-and-so, and spread the gossip that way. That's not what this is about. This is about when people share here, they share in confidence that what is said here stays here. And if you want to talk, talk to the person, give them some encouragement, hug them or pray with them, because that's so important. That's the important thing. All of our journeys are different. We're made different, and these people impact us differently. And we have no right to say, to judge anybody because they're still in grief. We have no right to do that. We simply walk with them. And so I invite us to walk together this morning as we share some of about this deep relationship. I just say there are some resources I have here. If you're struggling more, we have the resources Finding Hope and Healing. It's by Kenneth Hawk, who is the founder of Stephen Ministry. And there's four books, actually Journey Through Grief. There's a book on finding hope and healing, remembering and rebuilding, experiencing grief, what it's like, and A Time to Grieve. So these are really written so you can read them easily, but it normalizes the process. And then this week, I found out that we have a book in our library that's called The Way of Letting Go by Wilma Dirksen. Some of you have heard of her story when Candace was murdered. And she talks about her journey through this grief and loss. And then I have another book, my own, I picked up along the way. It's called Turn Again to Life by Abram Schmidt. It's a Growing Through Grief. And so these are some resources, and maybe you have some resources as well. When you think, leave here, and you still think, what do I need to keep on journeying?